Jesus, oh, there's just something about that name. He's Master, Savior, Jesus.
I'm one of them. Oh, I'm
These people may not learn and be nor boast of worldly fame. They have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide His power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Powerful service came. Now what He did for them that day, He'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Seek this blessing. It will cleanse your heart from sin. It will start the joy bells ringing and will keep your soul on flame. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Well, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. This blessing, it will cleanse your heart from sin. It will start the joy bells ringing. It will keep your soul on flame. It is burning now within my heart. Glory to your name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with that fire, it fell at Pentecost. It cleansed and it made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to your name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Well, I'm one of
Brother Nathan, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. That Godhead mystery, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad. You believe that Son of Man ministry stuff, Brother Nathan? I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
Amen. It's good to be associated with a group of believers like that. Amen. God bless you. Certainly good to be in service again tonight together. Want to just remind you again, Lord willing, we'll be having a baptismal service Sunday evening, the 15th. And I've got a couple of prayer requests that came in this afternoon. Brother Darrell asked that we remember his granddaughter Tegan, who's having her tonsils removed tomorrow morning. So I want to remember that situation in prayer. And also just ask that you remember Philip in prayer tonight. Satan's just been fighting him all day with migraines and things and hasn't been feeling good. And about the time, you know, the afternoon hit, he started feeling better again. Then he got to feeling real bad again before service. So we know it's just the devil. But just want to pray for him that he'll get a touch from the Lord and feel better. And also, he's got to have some dental work done tomorrow, so I want to remember him in prayer. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. God sees each hand. Good to see Brother Morris with us tonight. Would you come and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests tonight, Brother Morris? Amen. Brother Morris is my uncle, and if I could remember quotes like he can, we would really have church. Amen. God's blessed him with a wonderful memory. God bless you.
Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, you taught us in your word to let our request be made known unto you. You said men ought to always pray, not to faint, to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubt. Lord Jesus, you said when we ask, to ask in faith, believing that we'd have what we asked for, and we would have it, Lord. If any two or three will gather and ask anything, agreeing upon it, Lord, it shall be done. Lord, that's your word. Father, tonight we gather here in your name by your grace and mercy, by your predestinated plan, Heavenly Father, placed us in this hour and this time to be a testimony to this generation, gracious God. And each of these requests tonight, Lord Jesus, that's been spoken, blessed Lord, little Philip, Lord, Lord, we pray you'll touch him, Lord Jesus, especially God, and this other request, Lord, and each one and every hand that went up, dear God. We know, Lord, your word says that you'd supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. You would that we prosper and be in health as our soul prospers, Lord. So tonight we just ask that you prosper our souls, Lord, first of all. And Lord, that we can be in health in that way as well, Lord God. Bless each one, Lord, that's gathered tonight. May we go out the door saying it was good to have been here because we realize your presence is real. Bless the ministry tonight, Lord, and each saint in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. This is 65 in your hymn book.
Oh, I've got a father over yonder. I've got a father over yonder. I've got a father over yonder. Well, it's on the other shore. Oh, some bright day I'll go and see him. Some bright day I'll go and see him. Some bright day I'll go and see him. On the other shore, oh, won't that be a happy meeting? Won't that be a happy meeting? Won't that be a happy meeting? Oh, on the other shore, oh, that my day might be, oh, that bright day might be tomorrow, that bright day might be tomorrow. On the other shore, oh, I've got a father over yonder. I've got a father over yonder. I've got a father over yonder. It's on the other shore. Oh, some bright day I'll go and see him. Some bright day I'll go and see him. Some bright day I'll go and see him. Over on the other shore, oh, won't that be a happy meeting? Won't that be a happy meeting? Won't that be a happy meeting? On the other shore, oh, that bright day might be tomorrow. That bright day might be tomorrow. That bright day might be tomorrow. It's on the other shore.
Well, there goes Brother Furman again. He's probably going to say something about Brother Branham singing that, but I've really never heard anybody else sing that but Brother Branham, and every time I sing it, I just hear him in the background, and it's just a sweet chorus. Amen. God bless you. try this tonight.
Well, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Lord, you brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You brought me. Oh, you brought me. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You brought me, yes. You brought me from a mighty long way. He's been my Father. He's been my mother. He's been my sister, my brother too. Oh, he brought me. Oh, he brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. He's been my father. He's been my mother. He's been my brother, my sister too. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Yes, you brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Yes, you brought me from a mighty. My life, my everything, Lord, you brought me. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way, a mighty long way. He's been my bread, he's been my water, he's been my life, my everything. Oh, you brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Yes, you brought me from a mighty long way. He's been my father, he's been my mother, he's been my sister, my brother too. Oh, he brought me, yes, he brought me from a mighty long way, a mighty long way. He's been my father, he's been my mother, he's been my sister, my brother too. Oh, yes, he brought me, yes. Let's stand and sing it tonight. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Yes, you brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
give you thanks. Lord, we want to say thanks. Oh, thanks. Lord, I give you thanks for all you've done, Lord. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, I give you thanks.
Amen. Are you thankful tonight? Amen. He's done so much for us. We've certainly got a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And just want to read two verses there to begin with tonight. Verse 14 and verse 15. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, truly it is our desire to be grounded, Father, and Lord, to have a balance. Lord, as we begin to look into your word tonight, Lord, and thinking of the quote Brother Branham said, we read last Wednesday night, how, Lord, when that undergrowth begins to come up, and Lord, they may be fresh and they may be green, but when the winds begin to blow upon them, it begins to shake them back and forth, and sometimes the storms of life come and they begin to shake us and they begin to sway us one way or another. But Lord, Brother Branham asked the question. He said, wouldn't they be trees just the same either way? But God spoke to him and said, but when they do that, they're able to anchor down their roots a little bit deeper.
Amen.
Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us, Father. Help us to anchor down our roots, Lord, not on a foundation of sinking sand or, Lord, of changing weather or changing ideas. But, Father, may our roots, may our foundation be anchored in the word of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Lord. Lord, we thank you for an absolute in this age that we can look to when we have a question, Lord, that we would be able to look into your word and see what the word says about it. Lord, I just ask you to help us tonight as we look into some of these questions that have been asked some time ago. I ask you just to help me. Lord, give me wisdom, give me strength, help me to answer it in the right way and in the right attitude. Lord, if I would go to say something that would be unpleasing to you, may you stop my mouth, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you very richly, and you can be seated this evening. I thought you weren't here, Brother Jimmy. It's good to look back there and see you. I thought you missed, but you're just helping out tonight, so appreciate that. Amen. We had some questions a while back and was doing some questions and answers, and I had just kind of taken a break for them for a while, and I've tried on several Sunday nights to go back to that a little bit, and it just seemed like I couldn't get a confirmation what direction to go, and some of the questions have been answered just through preaching on other topics and things. Those questions have kind of come out in the sermons and was able to answer them that way. But we still got a handful of questions that I've never got to, and I don't want people to think that I'm ignoring their questions. And so I was praying, trying to find the leading of the Lord on Saturday, what direction to go, and just felt impressed to go back to the questions and start answering them in kind of the order that they came in. So I want to look at this question. We dealt with this a little bit a few months ago, but dealing with that actually produced this question. So we want to look at this question tonight with the help of the Lord. If the Son of God dispensation is the Holy Ghost, then wouldn't that coming have something to do with Pentecost? And then it goes on to say, Brother Branham said that the Son of Man would come between the coming of the Son of God and the coming of the Son of David. Now, this statement, to some of you, that may be confusing, this part of the question, that Brother Branham said the Son of Man would come between the coming of the Son of God and the coming of the Son of David. But where this comes from is the unveiling of God in 1964. Brother Branham said, talking about Jesus, said he was the Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, and will be Son of David. Now, this is the only place that he states it exactly like this. Usually he says Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. But he phrases it this way in this quote, and I don't believe it just was something that he did randomly or haphazardly, but I believe there was a reason for this to be. So they're saying that Jesus came as Son of Man, and they're saying this Son of God dispensation, by using this quote, they're saying Brother Branham said that he would come as Son of God, and then he would come as Son of Man, and then as Son of David. So we want to look at this. Now, we'll look at it a little bit further on a quote. Brother Branham says there's a difference between an appearing and a coming, but I want to go over to the fourth seal first before we kind of get into this, just to lay a foundation. Brother Branham says in the fourth seal in 1963, he said, Christ's first coming, a mortal. He comes three times. Christ is in three. See, watch how he comes. He's a four. Watch Christ. Now, he's talking about the beasts and the horse riders, how this horse rider came as four. And he said, he comes as a four, but Christ comes as a three. So you say, well, Brother Nathan, how can he come as Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, and be three? Because it was only three physical comings of Jesus Christ. He did come in this age in a Son of Man ministry through a prophet, but that was not the physical coming of Jesus Christ. If so, then you believe like some of these out here that pray in his name. But Brother Branham was not the physical appearing of Jesus Christ. He comes three times, but yet he had to come and anoint a ministry in this age as Son of Man, or it wouldn't have been fair to us Gentiles, because he had appeared in a flesh body in the first coming. He came and he stood there on the shores of Galilee, and he showed the Jews and he showed the Samaritans the sign of the Son of Man. He would turn his back to the audience and he would say, here comes a man in whom there is no guile. And he would say, now, Rabbi, how did you know me? He said, well, when you was up there under the fig tree, I saw you. Now, this was, Brother Branham said, it was a day's journey around the mountain. There's no way that Jesus could have physically seen him with his eye, but he saw by vision where this man was, what he was doing, what his name was, and what type of man that he was, what his character was. He said, this is a man in whom there is no guile. This is a man who is seeking for the coming of the Messiah. This is a man who's been taught right and who's trying to do his very best that he knows how to live right. And he performed that to the Jews. Then he goes up. He had needs to go by Samaria. And he goes up along his way there and he stops at a well, the well of Jacob there. And he begins to talk to a woman who had a bad reputation. And as he stands there beside the well, he begins to speak to her and he begins to tell her things. In fact, when she runs into the city, she said, behold, a man who told me all the things that I've done. Now, Brother Benham said he did not tell her all the things that she had done. He just told her one situation about her life. But she knew that if he could tell her this situation that he had no way of knowing, he had never been in that part of the country that we know of, he had never had a conversation with her, he didn't go and have conversations with her neighbors and find out, he didn't track it down. He walks into the city and he begins to discern her heart and to begin to speak to her. And Brother Bam says it this way, he said he was trying to catch her spirit. And he strikes up a conversation with her, and that Son of Man ministry begins to expose itself to the Samaritans. Now, he never did that to the Gentiles. There's not a scripture where he came to a Gentile and did that, because it wasn't the Gentile dispensation yet. He was not dealing with them in that manner. But then if he would come along, remember, the Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same back in Galilee as he is today. He was the same back in 1965. He's got to be the same today. Amen. Whatever he does, it has to run in continuity and consistency. God doesn't do things haphazardly. And so if he could perform that to the Jews and to the Gentiles and then come around, or to the Jews and the Samaritans, excuse me, and then come around and say, well, I'm not going to perform that to the Gentiles, it wouldn't be fair for him, to give them eternal life and then not to give someone in this age and then not to have the chance to recognize there's been a Son of Man ministry take place in this age. It wouldn't be fair for him to perform something higher and greater to the Jews and the Samaritans and then just come and say, well, I'm only going to show you half of my power, but you just have to accept me on half of it. No, he came, Brother Branham said, in this age in every way exactly the same except the physical body. The fourth seal, 1963. Let me read it again. Christ's first coming, immortal. He comes three times. Christ is in three. See, watch how he comes. He's a four, talking about the four horse riders. Watch Christ, first coming. He come immortal to bleed and die. Is that right? That's his first coming. The second coming is the rapture. We meet him in the skies, immortal. His third coming, he's the incarnate God. Amen. Yeah. God Emmanuel to reign on earth. That's right. Only three. A paradox. 1964. Jesus comes three times. One time he come to redeem his wife. Next time he comes to catch her away. The next time he comes with her. Three comings. Future home, 1964. Jesus comes three times, come once to redeem his bride, next time to get his bride, next time with his bride. He come once in a physical body to redeem his bride. He had to die in that physical body to redeem his bride. He comes next in a physical body to catch away his bride. And he comes the third time in a physical body with his bride in the millennium, Son of David. It is I, be not afraid, 1962. He says, you know, there's a difference between the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ. That's two different words altogether. Now, it's not just two English words altogether, but actually if you go back into the New Testament and you begin to read and you begin to look at the words, when it says things like coming and appearing, those who love his appearing, the coming of the Lord, things like that, there's many different Greek words that are used there. There's one word that's parousia, which means his coming or his presence. There's another word that's the word for revelation, apocalypse. We looked at it a few weeks ago, how many times when it's talking about his coming or his appearing, it uses that same word apocalypse, which means a revelation. It's not a physical coming. It's not even necessarily an appearing, but it's a revelation of who he is. And so we have to watch many times when we're reading. It may sound a certain way, but when we really begin to look at it, it's not exactly what it's talking about, like we looked at this morning, how when it says the kingdom of God in the Bible, it's not just talking about gates of pearl and streets of gold, but Brother Branham said his kingdom, Jesus came along and he said, the kingdom of God is within you. And Brother Bam said, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen. You might have not have been taught that until this morning, but that's what the word said. Amen. There's a difference between the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ. That's two different words altogether. He's appearing now in his church. We see him. We know it's him. It's the Holy Spirit, we know it is. He's appearing now. Right now, he's appearing. We saw him Wednesday night appear.
Amen.
Amen. They saw him down on the river in 1933 appear. A voice spoke audibly and said, as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, you'll forerun the second one. They saw him appear in the Sam Houston Coliseum. They saw him appear over Mount Sunset. There's many appearings, but there's only three comings. A trumpet, let's actually read this first. The ministry explained 1950. I know this is way back in 1950, but bear with me. We'll read some other ones a little bit closer. I believe in the literal, physical coming of Jesus the second time. A trumpet gives an uncertain sound, 1963. Some of them don't believe in his literal coming. The Bible said he will come, so we are looking for his coming, a literal coming. Perseverance, 1962. Well, there's many of us Protestants across the country don't believe in the physical resurrection. Hundreds of churches don't believe in the physical return or anything. See, I believe in the literal birth, death, burial, resurrection, second coming, all Jesus. Yes, sir, he says. I believe that he's fully Christ, the same Jesus taken up, the same Jesus will return. And I believe in the person of the Holy Ghost, he's here now. His spirit, his life, moving in the church. You mean he's here now, but he's coming? He's here now, but he's coming. Is that what he said? Amen. I believe the person of the Holy Ghost, he's here now. His spirit form. This day the scriptures fulfilled, 1965. Not the major prophet, but the God prophet. The fullness of the Godhead bodily was in him. This is 1965 after the seals. Therefore, he was the Son of Man. Now for 2,000 years, he's been known to us as Son of God's Spirit. And in the millennium, he'll be son of David upon the throne. We all know that who believes the scriptures. You see now, Brother Nathan, he says here in 1965 that through the church ages, he's been son of God through the Holy Spirit. So did he come way back there on the day of Pentecost? Three comings. That's what Brother Bram said. Three physical comings. Yes. Now he says in the church age book, there's one coming of the Spirit. One coming of the Spirit. Now, if you're not careful, you get 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 comings. But it's three comings, but there's many appearings. He appeared as the form of a dove down on the river of Jordan when John was baptizing. He appeared as a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost. He appeared as Son of Man to this church age. But if you're not careful, you get... Now, wait a minute. Which was his coming? Did he come on Pentecost? Did he come on sunset? Did he come way back there on the cross? Did he come when this happened or when that happened? Did he come when I saw him here, when I saw him there? It's an appearing and a coming.
Amen.
A trial, 1964. But then in the church age, he is called the Son of God. Now, anyone knows that God is a spirit. Is that right? The congregation says amen. And the Holy Ghost is the Son of God. He's supernatural. Son of Man was a prophet, a man. David was a king. But God is a spirit. And in the church age, he's revealed as Son of God. Didn't say he came as Son of God in a literal physical body. That was the Holy Ghost. He didn't say that's what it was. He said he was revealed as Son of God. We believe that. You don't believe he's the Son of God, you're lost. He's the Son of God to the church ages. Feast of the Trumpet, again, 1964. Now, he's been revealed through the church ages. Now, watch, he says, through the church ages, the Son of God. God being a spirit, the Holy Spirit, he revealed himself in the church ages as in the congregation, as the Holy Spirit among the people. Now, he always reveals himself in the dispensation that he's supposed to come in. Now, he was revealed as Son of Man back there when he was hanging on a cross, back there when he walked the seas of Galilee. He was Son of Man in that dispensation. We'll begin to look at it here in a few minutes. The different scriptures, even. If you look at Old Testament scriptures compared to gospel scriptures, compared to post-gospel scriptures, we see that the emphasis is on a different portion of his coming, because they were emphasizing the portion that was being revealed for their dispensation. Now, we're in a dispensation that the Son of Man ministry revealed itself, but it wasn't the Son of Man coming again, or then you've got four comings. We're in a dispensation, and we're in the church age to where the Holy Spirit is being revealed again in his people, but that doesn't make it a physical coming. If it is, then he physically came in David Hoover. He physically came in David Andes. He physically came in William Branham. Because the Holy Spirit, he divides himself. And he places a little bit in Brother Layton, and a little bit in you, and a little bit in me. He's in his church in spirit form, but he's coming back in a physical form to where we can see him. I can look and see him tonight in Brother Layton. I can look and see him tonight in Brother Hoover and Brother Morris. I see his attributes through the Holy Spirit that he's placed in him. But I don't literally physically see Jesus Christ. I see his attributes, but I don't see Jesus. Amen. I'm looking to see Jesus. We sing that song, What a Day It'll Be, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. I don't think that's just a song. I'm looking to physically see him come for me. Amen. I'm looking to physically spend time with him through the millennium in a physical body, to be able to shake his hand and fall down and worship his feet. And then I'm looking to come back with him. Amen. I'm looking to see him. Unveiling of God, 1964. He revealed himself as Son of God through the stock age and so forth. But in this last age, he's to reveal himself as Son of Man again. Once again, he's revealing himself. The Thyatiran church age, 1960. When he was here on earth, he was a prophet, God's prophet. Now he took his own blood and went before the Father, which makes him a priest. When he comes back, he'll be a king, prophet, priest, and king. You watch how God is just perfect in his continuity, the way he does things. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David, prophet, priest, and king. He was God's prophet. He was an eagle. He was God's priest. He was a lamb. When he comes back, he'll be the lion, the king, the tribe of Judah to reign. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Amen. Now some say he came on the day of Pentecost. He did in spirit form. Amen. Once again, church age book, there's one coming of the Spirit. He came in spirit form, but he didn't come in physical form. It wasn't a literal physical coming. And no man knows the day nor the hour. So we know the day and the hour that he came on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. No man knows the day nor the hour. Oh, no, Brother Nathan, he didn't come on Pentecost. He came over here on sunset. Well, we know the day and the hour then. We know what time he was up there on sunset. We know what time the cloud appeared. We've got a picture of it. I can show you the day and the hour that the cloud appeared.
That's right.
Amen. But no man will know the day nor the hour. Oh my, Perseverance, 1964. Well, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, only he's not in physical form. Now, this is 1964. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, only he's not in physical form. When he returns like that, time is over. He'll take the church with him. Now you say, now, Brother Nathan, you just got it confused. He's talking about the son of David here, you know, when he comes that way. Well, if he is, then why did he say he would take the church with him? He said when he comes back as son of David, he brings the bride with him. But he said when he returns like that, let's read it again. He is not in physical form. When he returns like that, time is over. He'll take the church with him, but he's here in the form of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
To come into me and into you and perform the same works. The breach, 1963. And when the seals are broke and the mystery is revealed, down comes the angel messenger, setting his foot upon the land and upon the sea with a rainbow over his head. Now remember, this seventh angel is on the earth at the time of this coming. Now I don't have it in the slides, but turn with me to Revelations chapter 10 and verse 1. I know a lot of people around the message try to make this scripture Brother Branham, but it's just because they try to make every scripture Brother Branham, but I only make the ones that he said was Brother Branham, Brother Branham.
Right.
Amen. He was Revelations 10:7, but he was not Revelations 10:1. Brother Branham said this was literally Jesus Christ himself. Revelations 10, verse 1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Comes down from heaven clothed with a cloud. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice. Oh, there it is again. We're back to Wednesday night. There's that loud voice again. Cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now he says, he sets his foot on the land and upon the sea with a rainbow over his head. Now remember, this seventh angel is on the earth at the time of this coming. Now notice he doesn't say appearing. He says it is coming. Now you've got yourself out on a limb, Brother Nathan. Now, you know, you tried to prove those wrong that say it's on the day of Pentecost, and you said it wasn't on Mount Sunset, but now Brother Branham comes around and says that the seventh angel would be on the earth at the time of this coming. You've got yourself out on a limb. No, I have not. Brother Branham will be on the earth at the time of this coming. Let me prove it to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Amen. How many believes that Brother Branham? I don't believe he's dead. I believe he's asleep in Jesus, because a Christian doesn't die. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. He's not talking about Donald Trump now. With the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So when he comes, that seventh angel will be on the earth. You may not agree, you don't have to, but I just rejoice over that. Amen. Son of Man is used 108 times in the Old Testament because it was pointing forward to the dispensation that they were looking for. They were looking for him to come in this Son of Man dispensation as a prophet. They were looking, he said, she said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And he said, "Well, won't Messiah be a prophet? Oh my, he would be the God prophet." Son of Man is said 108 times in the Old Testament, but Son of God is only said one time in the entire Old Testament, and it was said by a Gentile. Why? Because that was our dispensation. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of Man." No, he didn't say that, did he? "Is like the Son of David." No, he didn't say that, did he? "It's like the Son of God." Why would Nebuchadnezzar say this? Why would a Gentile? How would a Gentile even know what the Son of God would look like? He was under an anointing for a Gentile dispensation. Now, Brother Branham said the Gentile dispensation ushered in with the worship of a man. And he said, no doubt it'll go out the same with the worship of a man. Here he's under this anointing. And the only time this phrase is said in the entire Old Testament, a Gentile says it. Now, Son of Man is said 80 times in the four Gospels because that was the ministry that he was in. But Son of God, even though we believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God, it's only said 28 times in the entire four Gospels because the focus was still on Son of Man. But then you come over in the New Testament after the Gospels, and Son of Man is only said four times, but Son of God is said 18 times. Now, I don't think God just randomly did this and said, "I'm going to put this many times in this part of the Bible and this many times over here." But it was emphasizing the dispensation that they were either currently looking for or currently in. And I think it's amazing how that God begins to deal in this way in revealing these things to us. We would see Jesus 1957. Now, he's talking about the Jehovah Witness doctrine, and Mr. Wood, who had been a Jehovah Witness, he begins to speak to him about what Mr. Russell of the Jehovah Witness believed. He said, "We would see Jesus 1957. He said, "Now, Mr. Russell said that Christ would come in 1914. He said a time which God said no man knows." They still do it today. You still got these guys out here. "Oh, it's going to be 77. And then when it's not 77, then they had it all figured out because they took a quote and tried to make it say what they wanted it to say. He said, "I predict. I do not prophesy." We don't have many other times that he ever said that about anything. He didn't say, "When I go up to British Columbia, I predict that I'll get a silver-tipped grizzly bear and a caribou." He said, "Thus saith the Lord." There's many things that he would come down and he would say, if this doesn't happen this way, call me a false prophet. He didn't say that about 77. He said, "I predict." Why? He was looking as far as God would allow him to see. And then it looked like it just went into total darkness. So he said 77 was maybe as far as he could see the natural line of events taking place. And God allows him to see down there. He said, "I can't see any further than this. So I predict that that's when it's going to take place." And I believe God allowed him to do that because there had to come a falling away. There had to be people that would misunderstand. Just as we looked at this morning when Jesus turned around and said, "There'll be some here that won't die, they won't taste of death until they see the kingdom of heaven coming in its power." They did on the day of Pentecost. They saw it coming in its power, but many thought, "Well, John's not going to die until the second coming of the Lord." And then when John died over there years later, no doubt there was a great falling away. Well, Jesus said this. Jesus didn't even say, "I predict." He just said emphatically, "This is the way it's going to be." But they misunderstood what he was talking about.
Amen.
He says, "I said, now Mr. Russell said that Christ would come in 1914. He set a time." They still do. You know, they'll predict a date. "Oh, we think he's coming in 2000. We think he's coming in 2015. We think he's coming in 2017. And then when that rolls around, they get a new date or a new idea. And they never come back around. You know, I had a guy at the church a few years ago. We tried to treat him nice every way that we could and tried to encourage him. I thought God was doing something for him and helping him. And then he had to push his denomination denominational stuff on people and predicting times and dates and things like that. And it was absolutely wrong. He was trying to hand out cards saying that the U.S. economy was going to crash on a certain date, and it was something some nominal preacher had come up with. Well, I'm not going to follow some nominal preacher. I came out of that. I'm not going to follow a Trinitarian or a woman preacher. You know, maybe we used to do those things, but I've come a little higher than that. Hey, man, I'm not looking back there. Now, you can go and you can read. I've read books written by denominational men. I've been encouraged, things like that. But when I go to find inspiration for a sermon, or when I go to find revelation, I don't go and begin to look into some nominal or some Trinitarian or something like that. They may be able to say something that would encourage you or uplift you. You know, they believe in God, you know, even if they don't really understand who he is because they haven't had a prophet of God reveal it to them. They have encouraging things that they can say. Maybe you're going through a trial or something and somebody wrote a book on that. You pick it up and it encourages you. That's all right. But when you go to look for revelation, don't go back to the chicken coop. Hey, man, I'm not going back to the chicken coop to look for revelation. Now, if I want some good fried chicken breast, I'll go down to the chicken coop. But if I want some revelation, I'll go to Malachi 4.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And so, you know, he was pushing this, that the U.S. economy was supposed to crash on a certain date. And at one of our special meetings, he began to hand out all these different things. And it absolutely didn't happen the way that he thought, or the way that he had read, or the way that he predicted. Didn't happen. The date came and the date went. But instead of doing like Brother Branham said and coming around and asking the church to forgive him or anybody else that would do something like that, and Brother Branham said, and getting that lying spirit off of you, what do? They come up with another date and another idea, and they'll keep doing it, and they'll keep doing it, and they'll keep doing it unless God delivers them of it. Why? Because they're looking for something greater. I'm not looking for anything else greater. We've got the greatest thing that has ever hit the face of the earth. I appreciate Dr. Dobson and his help to families, but I'm not looking to Dr. Dobson for revelation. Amen. You know, if you want to look to him for something about how to discipline your children or something like that, that's all right. You do whatever you feel led. But, you know, if I'm looking for revelation, I'm going to go to Malachi 4.
Amen.
Amen. We would see Jesus. I'm trying to get through this quote. I said, now, Mr. Wood, Mr. Russell said that Christ would come in 1914. He set a time which God said, no man knows the minute or the hour, but he spiritualized it. And he said he come to his spiritual office for 144,000. He said he came on the day of Pentecost in that office. What did he do? This Jehovah Witness man tried to spiritualize the coming of the Lord to say, look, he's coming spiritually for 144,000. And if you're not part of that 144,000, you're just lost. And, you know, they'll come and knock on your door and try to get you to join them. But I've already joined something a little greater than the Jehovah Witness. Hey, man, I'm a Jehovah Witness, just not part of the denomination. But I am a witness for Jehovah. Amen. Because the Jehovah of the Old Testament has become the Jesus of the New. Amen. And I'm a witness for him. In fact, you know, if we have to, I'll give my life for a testimony for him. Amen. But I'm expecting to take a flight and a body change before we get that far. He spiritualized it and said he come to his spiritual office for 144,000. He's saying in 1914 this was going to take place. He said he came on the day of Pentecost in that office. What office? His spiritual office. A spiritual coming. He came as spirit. But he said, we're looking for three comings, physical, literal comings. The Seed of Discrepancy, 1965, when a man stands and says that he's a minister, a pastor of a church of somewhere, and he does not believe that Jesus Christ is the same in every detail except the physical body. Except the physical body, same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the Seed of Discrepancy. There's many out here that don't even get that far. They say, you know, oh, it was for another age. Days of miracles are past. This is past. That is past. We don't need to go to church no more. We don't need preachers no more. We don't need this no more. We don't need that no more. I need all that God's word promised me. Amen. Amen. Brother Branham said it. We read it the other night. He said, I don't want any more than God's word has promised, but I do want all that it has promised. Amen. Amen. I don't want to reject a portion of it and say, I don't really need that, God. No, if God put it in there, you needed it for a reason. Hey, man, there was some reason that we needed it. Now, he said he's the same in every detail except the physical body. Now, there is a body of Jesus Christ on the face of the earth today, but it's a many-membered body. In fact, Brother Branham said it's the most disjointed body that he had ever seen. Now, if we didn't know that he was a prophet, we would think that was almost sacrilegious to say that the body of Jesus Christ was a disjointed body. But he's not talking about Jesus' physical body somewhere. He's talking about the body of Jesus Christ on the earth today, that you've got some over here in this church and some over there in that church and some that hasn't come out of the denominations yet and some that thinks that they're big something great and some that's still trying to figure out that they're bride, and you've got them all over the face of the earth, and it's a disjointed body. It's so sad that the body of Jesus Christ would have to be that way when he's called us to be a many-membered body. And many times we look and we say, I don't need the pinky toe. I have no use for it. Well, if you lost your pinky toe, you'd find out real soon that you missed it. Hey, amen. You may not think about it much on a daily basis. You may not get up in the morning and say, thank you, Jesus, for my pinky toe, but you get a pretty big gash on it and you begin to say, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, my, I never knew how much I used that pinky toe. Why? Because it's part of the body. There's no big I's and little U's in this thing. It's all part of the body. Hey, amen. You may just be the thumbnail or something like that, but you ever get a thumbnail ripped off and you'll wish to God that you had it back. Amen. It's a many-membered body, and Christ working through the body, but it's not the same physical body that was here when he roamed the seas of Galilee. It's not the same physical body that will be when he sits there as son of David over the throne in the millennium. It's not that same physical body that's here on the earth. Now, his spirit is here on the earth, but his spirit has always been here on the earth. His spirit was here back when he brooded over the earth and said, let there be, and there was. The difference now is that that same spirit, he's always been present in that form, but that same spirit now has begun to enter into individuals. That's how he came on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't like God had flown off to Mars somewhere, and when Jesus died, we went, 40 days without, or 50 days, I guess, to Pentecost. We didn't go 50 days without the Spirit of God being on the face of the earth. The Spirit of God was always on the face of the earth, but now it began to embody people. It had never done that before. The Spirit of God began to divide itself, and he came on the day of Pentecost. You say, well, what do you mean he came? He had been here all the time. That's right, but he appeared. He appeared, not in a physical body, but he appears on the day of Pentecost to dwell in human flesh again, but not the same Jesus. Remember, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 there, he said, this same Jesus that you see ascending will come back descending. Well, he came back a few days later in spirit form, but that wasn't that same Jesus. It was the same spirit, but it wasn't the same physical body. Jesus Christ is the same in every detail except the physical body. The mighty God unveiled 1964. Then we find after his death, burial, and resurrection, he come on the day of Pentecost as Son of God, God the Spirit, in the form of the Holy Ghost. What was he doing? He was changing himself, making himself known to his people in a different form. Like the Holy Spirit, which is God, he come to deal through the church ages as Son of God, the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Brother Nathan, there it is. Son of God is the Holy Spirit. That's right. The spiritual form of it is. But what about that literal coming he was talking about? What about that same Lord Jesus? What about him coming to catch his bride away? You got to make it all run in continuity. You can't splice what you want over here and take what you want over there. It's got to all run together in continuity. What's it going to take? It's going to take revelation to make it do that. He came to deal through the church ages as Son of God, the Holy Spirit. Three kinds of believers, 1963. There is a heaven and there is a literal Jesus Christ there that will come in a body form to receive his church to himself.
Amen.
Now, this is after the seals. This is November of 1963. There is a literal Jesus.
Yes.
Not just a spirit form. Not just Son of God to the church ages just out here in spirit form. It has been in spirit form because that's the dispensation that we were living in. Amen. The dispensation that we were living in, that spirit has been anointing this age all the way down through the seven church ages. It's been anointing this dispensation in the form of spirit. Just like way back there in the Old Testament, it was anointing as Son of Man because it was preparing them. You say, how was he anointing as Son of Man? He would look around at those prophets and he would call Ezekiel, Son of Man, take up a prophecy and say this. Son of Man, do this. Son of Man, do that. 108 times. Son of man, son of man, son of man, all the way through the Old Testament. But son of man had not come yet, even though God was beginning to deal with them in a son of man dispensation and a son of man anointing. And he was referring to it as son of man over and over and over again. David says in the Psalms, what is the son of man that thou art mindful of him? And he's always referring son of man, son of man. Why weren't they saying son of God or son of David way back then? Hardly ever mentioned. One time, son of God by a Gentile. It's because it wasn't the dispensation. They weren't in that dispensation. But God begins to deal with them in the dispensation of son of man because they were looking for son of man to come. And now through the church ages, he has dealt with us as son of God in the form of the Holy Ghost because we're looking for son of God to come in a physical body. Hey, man, I don't believe when he comes, you know, and we have a body change, we're just going to see a cloud floating around somewhere. It's just going to be, you know, he'll just still be invisible as Holy Spirit. But I believe we will see him as he is. Paul said we'll have a body like unto his own glorious body. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. There is a heaven and there is a literal Jesus Christ there that will come in a body form to receive his church to himself. No matter how old the story seems, it's still the truth. God said so. That's what believers believe.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it this evening. Amen. There's a heaven and there's a literal Jesus Christ there that will come in a body form to receive his church to himself. We can't take this quote over here and then say, well, I've got this one in 63 that says it's a literal coming, and then I've got this quote over here that he says he was a son of God as Holy Ghost down to the church ages, and I've got this quote over here that says this and that quote over there and say that. We can't make it contradict one another. Just as we were looking down through the Bible today, there were things that looked like in our own intellectual conception about the kingdom of God, it looked like it was a contradiction until we looked at it in the light of what Brother Branham taught us and in the light of what Jesus said about how the kingdom of God is within you. Then all of a sudden, all those contradictions just went away because we realized he wasn't just talking about streets of gold and pearly gates, but he was talking about the kingdom of the Holy Ghost being on the inside of you. The same is with these quotes. If you see and you begin to look and you begin to study and it looks like this quote is contradicting that quote, and you say, well, this brother over here teaches this quote, but this brother over here teaches that quote. So who am I going to side with? Brother David, you believe it this way, and Brother Jimmy believes it that way, and you know, you both got quotes. Looks like you can back up what you're saying. As Brother Layton was saying this morning about the man online there, he had quotes that made it look like it backed up what he was saying, but when you begin to look at all the quotes, you said, now wait a minute, but that contradicts this and this and this and this. And what he's saying looks right with this and this and this. Jesus, when he stood there, Satan came to him and said, it is written.
Right.
But he said, that's right, but it's also written.
Amen.
Now, it wasn't that Moses' quote that Satan used contradicted Moses' quote that Jesus used. It was that Satan was looking at one side and Jesus was looking at the whole thing. He was looking at the whole picture. We can't just pick and choose. Well, this is my favorite quote because this is the way I see it. Bless God, this is my favorite scripture because this is the way that I see it. You'll run out on a limb if you're not careful. And then you'll have to begin to say, Brother Branham was wrong over here. Or he didn't really mean it that way. Or we just don't believe that. He said that over there. That's true. But he also says this over here. You better be careful. You got to take all that he said. Jesus said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all. A-double-L, that the prophets have spoken. I mean, it doesn't contradict itself.
Amen.
When we see a contradiction, we can just look around in the mirror and say, oh, there it is. I found the contradiction.
Amen.
I knew there was a contradiction in there somewhere, and I found it. It's looking right back at me in the mirror. And then you go back and you say, God, I don't understand. My intellectual ability feels like this contradicts, and I know that can't be right. So I'm asking you to give me revelation.
Amen.
I'm asking you to show me how does all this fit together. I'm bringing all the pieces to you, and I'm praying and asking God, help me to put it together in the way that you would be pleasing to you. Because I don't believe he would say something in 63 and then contradict it in 64 and then bring it around and correct it again in 65. And he would, you know, begin to say, well, you know, I said this to, I know it's after the seals, and I know we have the revelation of the word, but in 63 I was was wrong, and then in 64 I corrected that, but then I realized in 65 I was wrong again in 64. What kind of message do we have? I recognized more unfolded, and I recognized he grew. But he didn't just flip back and forth, you know, on a monthly period and say, well, it's a physical coming in November, and no, I was wrong in December, it's a spiritual coming. What is it? It was a dispensation that God was dealing with the people in. He came as spirit. He came as spirit, as Son of God, on the day of Pentecost. But I'm not just looking for him to come as spirit. Some of you are still looking for him to come as spirit because you haven't received him yet as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But for those of us that have received him as the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm no longer waiting for him to come as spirit. I'm looking to physically see him with my eyes. Amen. To see him as he is, in a body as he is. To have a body likened to his own glorious body. I'm looking for a body change. I don't believe that we're going to, you know, we sing the song, and if you're not careful, you get the denominational idea. I don't believe we're just going to float off into the clouds somewhere and be standing 10,000 miles above the earth looking down at the clouds. I'm not looking for that. Amen. The prophet of God taught us. He said, it's not thunderheads out here. It's clouds of glory. He taught us better than that. Many times that denominational idea will still begin to creep in. And, you know, we begin to think about it like some denominational song or something that we would sing. You know, it's more to it than that. Right. He said, they're right here. They're just a dimension faster.
Amen.
When he saw Hope sitting there in his bedroom after she had died, and he said he just felt something patting his leg. And he said, I looked over and she was patting my leg saying, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. You got to stop worrying about us. We're better off than you are. He didn't fly up 10,000 miles in the air somewhere and sit on a cloud and say, hey, honey, good to see you again. She was right there in his own room, but just a dimension faster. He said, oh, they're waiting for us beyond the curtain of time. He said, I see him every once in a while. Amen. I see him every once in a while. Man, you talk about an honor. He said in one place, he said, I saw some of you over there. Oh, I believe he saw me over there, Brother David.
Amen.
Amen. I believe when he said there was millions of voices cried out, said, we're resting on it. Amen. I don't believe that was just somebody back in 1959. I believe I was in theophany form over there crying. My theophany had recognized it. Even though I hadn't been born yet, there was something. I had representation over there. Remember, he said, when you recognize that this is eagle's food, you heard from your theophany.
Right.
Amen. Now, I've never, maybe you have, I don't know, we'll maybe check you into a mental home if you have, but I've never really carried on a conversation with my theophany, and my theophany come and say, now, Nathan, and I'd say, yes, Nathan. Well, you know, you've really got something wrong. You know, you really don't see this the correct way that Brother Brandon revealed it. Oh, really, Nathan? Yes, that's right, Nathan, you don't. But when I recognized that this was eagle's food, my theophany didn't come down and have a conversation with me, but I heard from my theophany.
All right.
Amen. I heard because I had representation over there, and there was something that had been in me in seed form since before the foundation of the world. And that something over there, when I heard the word of God begin to speak forth, and I recognized, you know what? That's nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Amen. I want to say tonight, Hattie Wright doesn't have the copyright on that. I believe the same thing.
Amen.
That is nothing but the truth. When I turn on a tape, I don't try to filter it through what these defectors and things are saying. I say that's nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it. Amen. Even the his and Hanks and totes and fetches and things like that, I believe it.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, verily, verily. I don't think he stuttered. I believe it. Amen. I thank God because there was something down on the inside that I had representation over there somewhere. And when I begin to hear it, I recognize, you know what? This is eagle's food. This is eagle food. Now, a chicken, if you was to take them, it says where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. If you was to take a chicken and place him and there would be some big carcass of a cow or something, they would maybe vomit and throw up and couldn't even handle the thought of going over and tearing off some fresh flesh off of a carcass. But an eagle swooped down and began to flap those wings and he'd say, oh, this is like heaven to me. Praise God. And the chicken would say, oh my, I got to get back to my manure pile and do a little scratching around. Well, you go back to your manure doctrine. You go back to your manure denomination. You go back to this or back to that. I've recognized that there's a carcass that the eagles are gathered around in this age. Amen. I believe Brother Stephen was talking about Malachi 4 this morning. He said they were like calves that was grown up in a stall. Oh my, there's something about it. If you got a calf that, you know, you see some of these animals out here that people have that, you know, they get reported to the Humane Society and things. They let an old horse out here with about enough grass that wouldn't even feed a rat, hardly, let alone a horse. And he's out there about to starve to death and his rib cage is showing through. And you think, that poor, pitiful, miserable thing. That's how a lot of people are, even sitting in message churches. They've been fed one or two pieces of grass their whole life. That's all their pastor knows. Here's one piece of grass. This is what I teach. And here's the second piece of grass. This is the other thing that I teach. And they're about to starve to death and their spiritual rib cage showing through. Oh, that's good, but we need more than that. There's more to it than that. Brother Branham taught more than one or two things. There's more to it than that. And they begin to, their spiritual digestion, it feels like they just need something more. And then you go and you see one of these prize bulls that's out here at the 4-H fair or down here at the Kentucky State Fair or something. And he looks like his sides is about to bulge out and he's been fed. And what is it? They've kept him in a stall. And they've hand-fed him almost grain. Here's you some more grain, and here's you some more grain, and here's you some more grain, and it's been stored up for you, and we're giving you some more. And oh, maybe you've never tried this over here, but here's you some of this. And they begin to feed it to him and feed it to him, and he comes out there, and he's about 2 tons, and he walks out there on the stage, and they begin to offer thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for him. And here's this little one out in the field. Oh, I can't hardly take another step. And nobody'd give you 50 cents for him, hardly. Uh-huh. What is it? They've been stored up. They've been kept up in a stall and fed good vitamins, good spiritual things, and they're so healthy. When they walk out of church, they can't hardly get through the door. Bless God, I'm going to eat on that for a week. Amen. Spiritual revelation.
Amen.
Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. You don't have to agree with me tonight, but you can at least pray for me.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that he came in spirit form on the day of Pentecost, but I believe we'll see him in a physical body. I believe we're promised 3 literal physical comings of Jesus Christ, and that we will see him as he is when he comes to catch his bride away. I'm not looking to float off a million miles away. I believe I'll just be walking one day, Brother Hoover, and I'll begin to look, and I'll begin to say, you know what? That looks like Grandma Bryant coming walking down the road. Walking the way that she walked and the way that she stepped and her hair done the way that she used to do it. I think, oh my goodness, this must be the day. This must be the day. This must be the hour. We were promised that we begin to recognize our loved ones. And I look over and I see, oh my, that looks like a picture of Brother Branham when he was about 20 years old. Oh my, this must be the day. And as I'm thinking, I take a step and I look down and I think, oh my, that's not 36 or 48 or 74 or however many years old I am when he comes. That's not 36-year-old hands. That's 20-year-old hands.
All right, brother.
That's not a, you know, years of being a pastor, white hair that I got coming in all over the place. That's back to my old natural color, and I didn't even have to buy a number to dye it with.
Right.
What is it?
Amen,
we shall see him as he is. I'm not looking to float off in the Milky Way somewhere. I'm just looking to take a step one day.
That's right.
And this mortal will put on immortality. And I'll see him as he is.
Hallelujah.
And I'll have a body like his own glorious body.
Amen.
Let me read it again. We'll close. 3 kinds of believers, 1963. There is a heaven and there is a literal Jesus Christ there that will come in a body form to receive his church to himself. No matter how old the story seems, it's still the truth. God said so. So that's what believers believe.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. If the musicians would come tonight. The dispensation of the Son of God. We've seen the dispensation of the Son of Man. He came and gave his life. Now through the church ages, we've been in this dispensation of Son of God. He's been anointing his church. He's been living in his church. But now he's going to come back and be with his church. We can fellowship with him now in the form of the Holy Ghost. We can speak to him in our prayers. Brother Bram said, that woman asked, who did Jesus pray to in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, you said you got the Holy Ghost. Who do you pray to?
Yes.
The Holy Ghost on the inside of you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so thankful that we can fellowship with him in that form. There were many down through the ages. Adam, after he lost fellowship in the garden there, he would have longed to have been able to fellowship with him in the way that we do, in the form of the Holy Ghost, to have him dwelling on the inside of him. But Adam had recognized what it meant to walk with him in a theophany body down through the garden, and to be able to speak with him and talk to him, just like you'd look over and talk to Brother Layton or Brother Furman, and he could talk to him in the cool of the evening. And then that fellowship had been separated for thousands of years. Man had gone on. And then one day he came in a Son of Man dispensation, and he gave himself as a physical sacrifice, and he promised that he'd come back and that he'd be with them and that he'd be in them.
Right.
And he comes back on the day of Pentecost and he dwells in them, and we're able to receive the blessing of that in this age, to be able to fellowship with him in the form of the Holy Spirit, to be able to feel his presence come like that. But that was just this dispensation down through the church ages. But now we're promised that we'll see him as he is.
Amen.
Oh my, it's so wonderful to be able to fellowship with him in the cool of the evening and be able to talk to him and his sweet presence come into the room. Then that attribute of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's not, when we begin to talk about these things, it's not three persons. It's three dispensations. It's three attributes of God. Not three personalities, but he's revealing himself through three different attributes. Just like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Just like you, Brother Branham said, are a triune being. He said, we're each one of us a trinity. Your body, soul, and spirit. You take either one of those out of you, you don't have a body, or you don't have a soul, or you don't have a spirit, you're in trouble. But you're a triune being. And people don't look at Brother Hoover and they don't say, you know, Brother Branham said, we've never seen David Hoover. We've never seen David Hoover. You've seen that carcass, the shell on the outside that houses David Hoover, but the real him is down on the inside. We're a triune being too. And people scratch their head and try to make it three gods, but I don't try to make him three Hoovers. But he's a triune being just like God is. Three different attributes dwelling in the same body.
Amen.
Body, soul, and spirit. And God comes down through these dispensations and reveals himself in these different ways. But I'm longing for that day when I can look upon his face and when I can thank him for what he did. And I've thanked him. I've thanked him, Brother Hoover. I thank you for saving me, God. Thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost. Thank you for healing my children when they're sick. Thank you for these things. But, you know, I don't feel like I'll really be able to express it in this body, my real appreciation. And I don't feel like I'll really be able to say it exactly like I'm going to say and have the emotion and the expression that I want to have. I don't think this body is capable of really expressing it the way that I would like to. But when I have a different body that never will get tired. You know, if we stay in his presence long enough now and they almost have to carry us out. But when I get in a body that I'll never have to get tired. I can praise him for all eternity. I'll never get tired. I'll never have to sleep in on Monday. And I come down through the, walking down through there, and I see him in a glorious body. And I look upon his face. Brother Bram said there's no painter that could paint the expressions that he had. The look of love that he had in his eyes. There's no painter. He said, Hoffman did the closest that anybody could do, I guess, naturally. But he said, no artist could capture the features. And when I look into those eyes of compassion, the one who saved me by his grace. You talk about a time. You think Wednesday night was a time. As Brother Arnie taught, we ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. When we get in a body that, oh my, we can worship. We can scream the praises of God, never blow out our voice. We can cry out to him and thank him and really be able to express it without everything else weighing us down, our own carnality, our memory, our sins, and all the things that try to weigh us down and hinder us from really worshiping him like we should, because Satan's always trying to point us back. How can you even raise your hand in church after what you did last week? Because he's still God, and I still worship him and praise him, regardless of what I did or what type of week I had or how good or how bad I was or how good or how bad my week was. I'm still going to praise him anyhow, Satan. And when we begin to see him without all that other baggage holding us down, there's something about it. I don't believe we've ever really been able to fellowship with him in Holy Ghost form like we'll be able to fellowship with him over there. When I can fall down at his feet and begin to worship him, say, thank you for what you did for me that day on Calvary. Thank you for giving me eternal life. Thank you for seeing me back there in eternity, looking down through all my mistakes and all my failures and saying, I know Satan. I even knew before you did what he was going to do. And I chose him anyhow.
Hallelujah.
I loved him anyhow. When I look upon his face, what a day that'll be. Amen. Let's sing that. Amen. Let's just worship him a little bit tonight. Oh, there is coming a day when no heartaches shall come, no more clouds in the sky. On that happy golden shore. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, let's sing it together. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, when I look upon his face, he's the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and he leads me through that promised land, oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, I like this part. Friends, there'll be no more sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, oh, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, day that will be. Oh, let's stand and worship him tonight. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, when I look upon his face, he's the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and he leads me through that promised land, oh, what a day. Oh yes, Lord. Why don't you just close your eyes and visualize it this evening. There'll be no more sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Together. Amen. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, are you looking for him to come breaking through the clouds, appearing in the clouds and all? Well, look up here just a minute. God's timing's perfect. I believe he already appeared in the clouds. Amen. Amen. Blessed are those that love his appearing. Amen. He already appeared in the clouds. In fact, that wasn't even promised as part of the Son of God coming. That was identified with the Son of Man ministry. Luke 17:30, in the days when the Son of Man shall be revealed. The Son of Man ministry coming. Oh my, the appearing again of the Holy Spirit in this age. He's in bride form right now. What are you looking for, Brother Nathan? I'm looking to take a step one day and my body be changed into a dimension where I can see his body. I'm looking to look upon his face and say, Jesus, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be here with you for all eternity. I deserved hell. I deserved death. I deserved to be rejected. But I thank you that you didn't give me what I deserved, but you gave me what your grace had provided for me. Oh, my, I'm looking forward to looking at his face. Just stand there and worship him for about 10 million years, and then I'll give you all a chance. Amen. No, I don't think we're going to have to wait in line like at Disney World or somewhere. Amen. He's omnipresent. He'll figure out a way somehow where we can all greet him. We can all spend time with him. Amen. But if I have to wait in line for 10 million years, it'll be worth it to see his face, to stand there and behold him as he is in all of his glory and his majesty. We imagine it. We talk about it. I don't believe there's any way we can even understand it and really grasp what it'll be like. Amen. Sister Hope came back, stood there beside him. She said, honey, you've talked about it. You've preached about it. She said, but you don't have any idea what it's like. There's no words that we can humanly express. The Bible said it hasn't even entered into the hearts of man what he has prepared for us. We have this conception of it. We have this idea. We listen to the word. We hear the word. And we picture it in our mind what it's going to be like. It hasn't even entered into our hearts the things that he has prepared for us. Sometimes my boys ask me questions. You know, Daddy, will there be cars in heaven? Will there be Legos in heaven? Will we be able to do this? Will we be able to do that? I said, honey, all those things, no matter what you can imagine, it'll be so much beyond that. You'll never want to go back to this. Amen. Brother Branham said, if you was ever a hog, he told Brother Charlie Cox, and was made a human, he said, would you ever want to go back to that? He said, now multiply that by 10 million and you'll have a grasp of what it'll be like. Oh my. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, to be in your presence. Lord, I can't think of anything greater than to be in your presence. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Yes. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these promises that we have in the last day. We thank you that we have the hope of the resurrection, that we'll see our loved ones again. That they aren't just in the grave and that's all that there is, but that we'll see them again. We'll be able to shake their hands and fellowship with the mothers and grandmothers and uncles and grandfathers and aunts and things that have passed on into eternity. Lord, that you've made a preparation that those that had accepted you as their Savior will be able to go and greet them and shake their hands and all mine, to be able to spend eternity. We'll be able to travel as a thought. As Brother Jack and I were talking, little Philip had told him, said, oh, you just need to come up every other weekend, drive up here and be with us and then drive back. He said, well, there'll be one day I'll be able to travel like a thought. Oh my, anybody that we want to fellowship with, we can just travel it like a thought. Oh, but Lord, I think I'll just spend a lot of my time around the throne worshiping you and praising you. If anybody wants to find me, they can just come right there. That's where I'll be, worshiping you, Father. Say, oh, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that it's not just a temporary thing that we come to church and we feel you and we get in our prayer closet and we feel you. But Lord, to be able to sit there at your feet through all eternity and be in your presence and never have to leave, never have to go home, never have to go do something, never have to go to a hospital or a graveyard. Oh my, it hasn't even entered into the hearts of man what it'll be. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for all that you do. Lord, we just ask you to be with us, Father, we pray. Be with each one as we go our separate ways, Lord. Protect us on the roads. Lord, bring us back at the appointed time. Lord, I just ask you to be with the work that's being done at the church, Lord, with the parking lot and the bathroom addition and things that we're doing here to try to make things, Lord, handier for the saints. Lord, I just ask that you would be with all the work. Protect all of the workers, Father. Lord, may everything go well. Yes. Lord, we're not doing it to try to be some big something. Lord, we're just trying to make things more convenient for your people. Lord, may you just bless every aspect of it. Bless this church. Bless the other local churches. Bless Brother Morris, Lord, and his church in Sellersburg and the one in Liberty, Father. Lord, may you just be with them. Lord, may you just continue to unfold yourself to all of us and just bless us with more outpourings of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to always have a handout to somebody else, to be a help, to be an encouragement, to lift somebody up. Oh, we love you, Father. Give us the right attitude. Give us the right motives and the right objectives, Father. Help us to, Lord, lift others up in prayer. May it not just be something that we get self-willed and self-starchy and that we just think that we've just arrived and there's nobody in it but us, Father. But help us to always have a handout for somebody else, to have a burden on our heart for lost souls. Lord, to have a burden for our fellow man that maybe they don't see this message. Maybe they don't even haven't even accepted you as their Savior, but Lord, somebody's got to take it to them. Somebody's got to try to show some light in this dark and evil age when everything's going into insanity. Father, may you help us to shine a light in this age of darkness. Help us to stand for the truth with everything that's within us, Father, we pray. Lord, be with each family. Lord, I know each family has their own troubles and their own trials that they're facing, but Lord, I also know that you promised you'd never leave us or forsake us, that you'd be with us through the trial. Lord, just continue to lead us and guide us. Help us to stay in the palm of your hand, Father, in your perfect will. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory for all things that you're doing. Lord, we know that you do all things well, that you're doing all things, Lord, according to your will and for our good. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name. Let's sing this again together. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, when I look up on his face, he's the one who saved.
Came on my heart. Brother Nathan was talking about those different dimensions, and I know some of you don't know this, but I just feel led to sing it, so you just sing along with me.
There is a land I'm homesick for, though I've got loved ones. distance ran. Oh, I'll speed up and they'll slow down. There is a land. Oh, why am I so homesick for? I'm not myself here anymore. I'm longing for that open door that leads to that land.
Brother Terry Tidwell, he wrote that. I was told this. I believe it's true. There was a Southern gospel group that was going to record that and put it on their CD. But that line, I'll speed up and they'll slow down, was just a little too supernatural for them. But, you know, one day they'll understand that. Amen. So there you go. I'm glad he stuck to what the prophet said. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, the windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart, for Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today on the manna, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart, for Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today on the manna, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart, for Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. Well, I'm feasting today on his manna, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart, for Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. Well, I'm feasting today on the manna, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart, for Jesus makes everything right. Oh, I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. Well, I'm feasting today on the manna, and that's why I'm happy tonight. And when this battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. And when this battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. Well, I'll wear a bright and shining crown. Oh, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. And when this battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, God bless you, saints. Let's sing it as we go. Jerusalem, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'll wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. And when the battle's over, we shall wear.